Thank you. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Toni Ann. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic, and I'm so happy to be here. Start my timer. Wow, what a topic to speak on, self-forgiveness. It's really something beautiful. I was recently cleaning out my bedroom, and I decided that it was time to put something away. I'm going to show it to you. For those people on the recording, you can't see that I'm showing this little stuffed elephant that's like lime green with orange flowers. And this was the elephant that I slept with when I was a child. It was my childhood comfort. His name is Seamus, and you could see he's beat up because I slept with him every night. And I did that to cope with what was going on in my family at the time. I come from a family where my stepdad was an alcoholic, my parents were gamblers, and there was a lot of things that were going on in my family that let's just say wasn't the best thing for children to be around. So I during the night I comforted myself with the elephant, but during the day I started comforting myself with food from a very, very early age. I didn't know what else to do. My mom was busy trying to put out fires in her life all the time. I wasn't taught like appropriate coping skills, and food, besides my elephant being my best friend at night, food became my best friend during the day. And that is what I did. That is what I did for a long time. When I got to be old enough that I started to understand the relationship I had with my own body, people started saying things to me about my body being different than others. And I began to hate myself at a very young age because I could not control myself with food, and I could not say what was going on with, like, why was it that I couldn't look like the other people that I had in my life? And from a very early age, that began a self-hatred that I had towards myself. By the time I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in October of the year 2000, I often would carry around a ball of jewelry with me because that's how I felt. The hatred and the feelings that I had were so complex for myself. I did not know where to begin to unravel them. I didn't even know what was wrong with me. I couldn't even put names to what I felt. Shame, regret, remorse, hatred. And I definitely had, I heard somebody say the other day, a negative bias. I was brought up with a negative bias. We were very negative thinkers, but I came from a home where everybody was very judgmental. We would go to a fantastic party, and on the ride home, we'd pick apart everything that was wrong. And that was just like kind of the way that I was raised. So I didn't know any better. No, in the words of Maya Angelou, when I know better, I do better. I came into this program, and the first thing that I had to do was put down the knife and the fork. And I was given the, at that time, there were eight tools to help me do that, which I did. And for about a good, I want to say, 12 years. For a good 12 years or so, I worked an eight-tool program on a diet, and I lost weight with group support, and nothing much really changed inside my life. I continued to create turmoil and wreckage in my life, and I think it was about 2 years later, so it was the year 2014. I'd left program. I took a sabbatical. I don't recommend anybody doing that. It was the worst time of my life. By the time I was ready to come back in program, literally, I had every kind of wreckage going on, legal, relationships, problems with my kids, my health, like you name it, and that's where I was at. I knew that there was no other place for me to go but here into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I came in, I heard a very passionate speaker talk about how the steps had changed her life. And by this time, I had been beaten down so bad, I was ready to do anything. Anything to relieve the pain of what I was feeling, both on the outside, because of course the weight had come back, but also on the inside, because it was like the mental turmoil and the remorse and horror that I felt inside my brain because of what I was trying to experience in my, what I was going through these experiences in my life with this wreckage. I needed to take care of business. And the very first business that I needed to take care of was putting the food down so that I can then, one thing at a time, unravel this big ball of garbage that was going on in my life. And I did that with the help of a sponsor and going to meetings. But mostly what really helped me was reading through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first 164 pages, and taking the advice that was written there, literally doing those things that were mentioned in those pages. Not just like I thought that working the 12 steps meant that I read the 12 steps, I interpreted them with my own sick brain of whatever I thought that it was. And that's what I was thought I was doing, and that's how I thought I was going to be recovered. And I did lose weight doing stuff like that, but I did not have the essential transformation that was going to change my life. So I can assure you today I live a completely different life. I mean, I'm literally living a life beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, I'm in a new relationship. We travel. I go to places where I feel comfortable. I'm able to be in the pool in my bathing suit and feel comfortable within myself and within my body. But most importantly, when I lay my head down at night, I don't need to hug a teddy bear or do anything to find peace, because I have peace and serenity in my life with the help of this process. So that's a little bit about me, but I want to spend the rest of the time to explaining to you a little bit about how I came to that. First, forgiveness is a process, and you've already heard me say that today. It's not something where I make up my mind and it just happens. And for me, it's closely related to step seven, which is humbly asking God to remove my defects. But I wasn't able to get to that humility part until I was really truly ready, and that comes in the step before. Being ready for my character defects to be removed. And how is it that I'm ready when I don't even know what it is? And so I have to back all the way up and program and start back at step three, well, step two, when I saw people in this program living a life that I wanted to live also, I aspire to live. And so I started listening to what they were saying, and then I started to take my very own actions. And it was like action after action, following what the big book said. I made an inventory in step four. I gave it away in step five. And by the way, I was surprised in step five when my sponsor didn't want to hear my whole story. She only wanted to hear my part and my character defects. But what that really did for me was it taught me something important, that when I'm doing a self-evaluation, the story doesn't matter. What matters is what is my part in it and what character defects are coming out of that part, because that's the only thing that I have the ability to change. I do not have the ability to change other people's behavior. I only have the ability to change my own reaction to that behavior. So recently, I've learned that my thoughts control my feelings, and my feelings control my actions. So I'll say this again. This might be a new concept for many. My thoughts control my feelings, and my feelings control my actions. So when I have a particular thought about something, or let me just say the story I tell myself. I don't know if anybody else does that, but the story I tell myself affects how I feel. And I can choose. I can't choose how I feel because it's an organic response in my body. But what I can choose, and I've recently come to understand, I can choose the story I tell myself. You know, let's see, how can I tie this in? I can tell myself that I'm garbage. I can tell myself that I'm not worthy. Or I can tell myself that I'm a child of God, and I can tell myself that I do the best that I can with what I have, and that I'm working towards being healthy. That's all up to me. Whatever I decide to say to myself, that self-talk, that's up to me. How do I get to that place? I do fourth step, fifth step, but more importantly, on a regular basis, I do 10 steps. So whenever I feel a disturbance, I inventory it so that I can get to what instinct is being affected in me. So the instincts, is it my self-esteem? Is it my security? Is it personal relations? Is it need for society? Well, I take a look at that, and then I look at what is my part in it. And after I look at what my part is it, I look at my character defects. And then I say to myself, what is the story I'm telling myself? Like, oftentimes I'm telling myself a negative message because of that negative bias that I have. And in doing the work, I look at what I call is my ideal. So the ideal for me is, what would God have me be, or what would my creator have me be? What would I look like? What would be the perfect scenario in the universe? And in that way, I create a sound ideal. This comes out of the big book on, I believe it's on page 70. It's in the sex harm, where I create the ideal for each situation in my life, and then I work towards living that ideal. Now, am I always going to be perfect in living that ideal? Of course I'm not. I'm not always going to be perfect. And in the big book, it talks about it. It says to me, it says in here, hold on, let me get to the place. Suppose we fall short of our chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean that we're going to get drunk? I'm on page 70. Some people tell us so, but this is only a half truth. It depends on us and our motives. If we were sorry for what we have done and have an honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and then we will have learned our lesson. So it's giving me a very important example on forgiveness in this passage. And again, I'm on page 70 on the top of the page. Suppose I fall short. How do I get past that? Many times I really beat myself up for falling short. Okay. I've made commitments to meetings and then forgotten about it. Maybe you're in a situation where you say today is going to be my first day of abstinence, and before the day is over, you've already broken it. Maybe you're in a situation where, like you just don't like the way certain clothes don't fit your body because of the damage that, like me, I've done to my skin and my body. And so there's regret about that. But it says here, if I am truly sorry for what I've done, and not just being sorry, I have an honest desire to let God take me to better things. And I've learned my lesson. So if that's happened in my life, if I've begun to take responsibility and I'm starting to do things in my life that's taking me to a better way, then I can have that self-forgiveness for myself. And I really do believe that self-forgiveness comes by continuing to do esteemable actions in this program. And there is something that's called sustained momentum. So when I start to make those positive decisions and take those positive actions, that the positive things that I'm doing becomes like a sustained momentum. And then I am a firm believer that way leads to way. And eventually what happens is I start to see that all those positive little choices that I've made, sometimes they could be very small choices. Like it could be the difference between, just shutting the light in the kitchen and walking out of it instead of going in there and opening the refrigerator. Like that seems like a very, very simple choice, but it's not. It's those little tiny things that I do that's doing the next right thing for myself that equal up to bigger things. Sometimes the decision is nothing more than going to bed when I feel like I want to eat something. It's putting myself to bed instead of making a bad decision. And that's how I begin to to feel esteem about myself. And eventually that those little things get a little bit bigger, and I start to see that the result of taking these esteemable actions ends up in a positive thing. Like I can't tell you how did I get to this transformation in my life, which it's apparent that I've had a transformation, but I can't tell you the exact day that it happened. It happened over a period of time by following the instructions and doing the next right thing. And it's not always easy. The big book says, I can go to step 11 on page, hold on, let me get there here. On page 86, it talks about when I retire at night and I ask myself this series of questions. And then at the end, it says, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire about what corrective measures should be taken. Before that, it says, we were careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection because it will diminish our usefulness to others. So worry, remorse, and morbid reflection diminishes my usefulness. It does. So I have to have a balance in my life between taking responsibility for things that have happened and doing the next thing and feeling positive towards myself. If I just keep picking up food and saying, I forgive myself, and the next day I make the same mistake and say, okay, I forgive myself, and the next day it's the same mistake and I forgive myself, there's a word for that. And it really isn't self-forgiveness. And I think that word is denial. And that's not what self-forgiveness is. Self-forgiveness means that I let go of the anger and the resentment of what's happened, but that I now make different choices where I protect myself. I can protect myself. And when I learn how to protect myself and to comfort myself without having to allow people to hurt me, without having to hurt others, without having to hurt myself, that's when I truly feel that I've accomplished that sense of forgiveness in my life. And that comes in step 12. That comes from having a conscious contact with my creator every day and checking in with myself to make sure that I'm on the right path. Will I always do the right things? No, of course not. No, none of us do because we're all humans. I'm a human being and I make mistakes, but I'm not my worst
Fine.
mistake. Thank you. I'm me. I'm a person. I'm not my worst decision. And today is a new day to make a different decision. That's where the forgiveness comes in. You know, I tried back 14 years ago at that time when I was just doing the diet with group support, and I wrote a letter to myself and how telling myself how I forgave myself and this and that. And I read it in front of everybody and I thought that was so great, but I didn't have a change in my life. It wasn't until I allowed myself to believe without knowing what the outcome was, but taking the actions anyway. There is a sense of trust that comes with step two. I have to have a sense of trust that if I do what it says, regardless of what I think, I'm going to have the outcome that other people did. I didn't even know how that was going to manifest in my life. And it manifested for me today in love and tolerance. And I have love and tolerance, not just for others, but also for myself. And I have to tell you that love is the easy part, tolerance is the difficult part. And I also learned that there comes a part in my life where, when I get to the edge of the rope where I feel like I can no longer tolerate behavior, whether it's from myself or somebody else, then that is a behavior that must be abstained. I must abstain from whatever that behavior is. And sometimes, as we heard before, it might be a toxic relationship in my life. And it is okay for me, as forgiveness to myself, to not have certain people in my life that hurt me. Like I can forgive them, but I can choose to not allow them in my life by setting boundaries, and that is okay. I do not feel bad about that. And whatever another person does with it is up to them. But I'm not that child anymore that has no option but to hug that little elephant at night in her bed and use food all throughout the course of the day. You know, I am able to set boundaries, and when I'm hurt, I can act appropriately. I don't hurt people back in return, but I do allow them to know that that behavior is not accepted by me and it will not be tolerated. And then I choose to do something different. Perhaps maybe you come from a family where it's difficult, but I also have a family of choice. I have family who I choose to call like sister friends that I love, and I've made friends in this program that I love and I can trust. And so when I need something, I go to those people where I know that I can be okay and I can be safe. And I've learned that. And of course, there's nothing more safe than going to my creator for help. Truly, that's where all of the help that I need comes from, my creator. I have certain rituals that I do throughout the course of my day. I do pray and meditate. I do every morning. I do a moral inventory. I do not do it at night because I find at night I am not in my best brain. I have a very technical job and at night I'm very tired. So I do not do a moral inventory when I'm not in my best brain. I do that in the morning when I'm refreshed. And there are several questions that I ask myself each day. On the top of my list is, am I being honest with myself? Am I surrendering control of the world to God? Am I identifying my faults? Am I living my reality with courage? By the way, for me, my higher power, my creator, I like to call courage. My higher power actually is called courage. It's a set of principles. And oftentimes I like to describe it, as I've heard others in program, as a new set of ideas. And in my new set of ideas, I'm allowed to forgive myself. I'm allowed to have that grace of forgiveness to myself, and I'm also allowed to forgive others. And in forgiving myself, I do not continue to hurt myself. I take the next right indicated actions. And I ask God to help me every single day remove my character defects. And overeating or undereating is a character defect. When I use food to do something other than nurture myself, it is a character defect. And I know my time is running out, so I'm going to leave you at last with this prayer that I say every day. It goes like this: Creator, give me the courage and strength to know who I really am, to act accordingly in my life, and to refrain from diverting my time, energy, and resources into my character defects. Amen. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deanne.